This is Matt Connickson. I'm a sales agronomist with CHX Ag Services in Oakley, Minnesota. We're pleased to bring you this update from the Red River Farm Network. CHS Ag Services, providing solutions for your success.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. I'm Randy Conan, along with Whitney Pittman. We'll also hear a report from Sierra Doctor. Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting President Mike Zuzalo says grain traders are watching how this market will close ahead of the long holiday weekend.
The idea that we do maybe have a debt ceiling in the works and maybe we'll get something here by the end of the day. So to me, Randy, that sets us up on Friday going into the holiday that the noontime hour, the 1 o'clock hour central time is going to be pretty important. We're going to get updated GFS weather model updates, and then we're going to find out whether Washington's going to talk before we go home for the holiday.
And Zuzalo is expecting ranchers in the High Plains to begin retaining heifers as pastures begin to recover.
Nebraska clients are telling me right now, especially in the sand hills, and this may be something that you're seeing or going to start hearing in your area with this rain coming in, you're going to see females being retained, and that's going to tighten our cattle supply up some quite a bit this summer, I think, in certain parts of the country. That's a win from a standpoint of pushing the market higher, but that's also, I think, a very good hedge opportunity because we're probably going to get into a situation if these equities markets don't stay firm and if the hog prices don't stay firm. Beef exports are starting to show some weakness. We may have some consumption issues as we get towards the last holiday of the summer grilling season.
AgriSampo North America Chief Analyst Sterling Smith says corn and soybeans are quite strong going into the holiday weekend.
The funds came into this obviously with a pretty good size net short position. They don't want to carry that short position over the weekend. There's a lot of talk that we're going to get a debt limit deal, and that would probably be generally supportive to all risk assets. Along with this, we have a burgeoning story right here where I am in this part of the Western Corn Belt as it remains remarkably dry. For the month, Omaha is going to see a quarter inch of rain where we normally see about 3.5 inches of rain. And this is compounded by what we are seeing, you know, what we have left over from last year.
A strong cash cattle market hasn't pulled cattle futures higher.
Packers look like they're caught a little bit tight here. Margins are okay, but they're not great, but weights are coming down. So choice is holding right around, you know, $3 a pound. We could certainly see those start to move up here as we're starting grilling season. With the hogs, the struggle is real, and the struggle goes on. Prices fell apart yesterday, and we now have July hogs trading at just under 76 cents a pound. And that is going to be very tough on things.
American Farm Bureau Federation economist Barrett Nelson says the meat market has had a lot of different moving pieces that affect the outlook.
There's a lot of news that has been in the market lately. You know, we had a case of BSE in the USA. When that came up, when I was, you know, going up and down the rows in the planter, we hear that. And you combine that with the things that are going on with Russia and ASF coming back in China. I mean, there's so many things happening right now across several commodities. So we're seeing the tighter cattle supplies come into play. We're seeing consolidation in the pork market. And, you know, we look at poultry, and we've got avian influenza that's kind of dropped our inventory there as well. So we're seeing tighter supplies in all three categories.
Nelson says while meat prices are getting better, there's been a delay from input prices that affect the average livestock producer.
Something that's really important we got to remember about that is while prices start getting better off these tightened supplies, farmers have had to endure a lot leading up to this point. And for some, it might be too little too late. As we think about how they've had to deal with high input costs, inflation, and the overall price scenario, It's caused a lot of people to dig into their burn rates. And so that means they've got a certain amount of equity built into their farm, and it's taken a long time to get to this point, and a lot of them have eaten up some of that equity.
AgWatch Market Advisors President Dewey Strickler says traders are squaring positions going into the holiday weekend.
I think you got a little bit of short covering. A lot of times during a long weekend in the spring or summer, traders are reluctant to press things on the short side, and I think that's what you're seeing here today pretty well for the most part.
The lean hogs are lower on larger than expected pork supplies.
Cold storage report showing that higher than expected stocks above a year ago. Cattle market, we're higher here on them as well, and we're looking at smaller stocks than what they were looking for, which has pushed us up into some new highs. But we are getting quite a spread between beef and pork here right now, and I don't know how much longer that is going to last.
Nation's winter wheat crop is expected to reach its highest abandonment rate since World War I, near 33%. USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says four states are pushing that abandonment rate toward record levels.
Looking at these preliminary numbers from USDA NAS, that Texas is expecting to abandon 70% of its winter wheat crop that was planted last fall. Remarkably, that's actually just a bit lower than last year's number when we also had punishing drought across the southern plains. So 70% is the abandonment number for Texas. Oklahoma, 53% is the expected abandonment number. Colorado coming in at 27%. And the official number from USDA NAS is 19% abandonment. That's 1.5 of the 8.1 million acres abandoned in Kansas based on the prospective plantings and the crop production.
Rippey says private surveys expect an even higher abandonment rate.
The reality we'll find out here after the harvest season, but these are the best estimates that NAS and then from the field reports can put together. The final answer will probably be somewhere in the range of those two, but we have some discrepancies in those numbers. Those four states, along with Montana and Washington, accounted for 68% of the U.S. winter wheat acreage planted last fall. With those four and those high abandonment numbers, why our national abandonment number is coming in this year at almost one-third of the crop.
The High Life Pork Processing Plant at Windham, Minnesota, is still seeking a buyer as it enters Chapter 11 bankruptcy. The company has now announced none of the potential buyers have the certification to accept current High Life employees on H-2B visas. Nearly half of the plant's 1,000 workers are on this visa and must return to their home countries no later than June 3rd. This is the Red River Farm Network.
Friday Farm News on the Red River Farm Network. The North American Millers Association is out with its Farm Bill priorities. At the top of the list, NAMA wants to put the food back in food aid, requiring not less than half of Food for Peace funds be used to buy commodities. They want more funding for international market assistance, and the Millers Group is also calling for more money for wheat and barley research.
It's the final day of the U.S. Meat Export Federation's Spring Conference. Red River Farm Network farm broadcaster Sierra Doctor has more from Minneapolis.
I'm Sierra Doctor here on the Red River Farm Network, here with Randy Sprunk, USMEF's chair-elect, who will be taking over this fall here. So, Randy, tell me a little bit about what's all happening at convention.
You know, this is our spring conference. It's where we bring together, you know, basically the nine sectors in U.S. Meat Export Federation that actually fund meat exports, along with the packers and exporters that export that product. Plus, then you're bringing in the international staff from USMEF, from Asia and the Philippines and Europe, and you're bringing them together here. And so you're really educating everybody on the current state of exports, where the pratfalls and where do we have opportunities, and basically a strategy on how do we move that high-quality beef, pork, and lamb worldwide that we raise in the United States.
Right, yeah, and Randy, you're actually from Minnesota and have a kind of a nice boots-on-the-ground background to bring to the table.
That's correct. I'm a lifelong farmer here, raising pigs in southwestern corner of Minnesota, about 30 miles from Iowa, 30 miles from South Dakota. Actually, a great start to our crop year this year, which is a very important part of what we do in animal agriculture, that feed. The more we get into the sustainability side of it, we realize how our corn and soybean is raised. And, you know, that's one of the great things about U.S. Meat Export Federation is the support that we get from fellow corn and soybean farmers through their checkoff, that they actually are supporting meat exports throughout the world.
And some pretty recent news still is Proposition 12. I think that's kind of been a conversation, little buzz that's happening around the conference here. From your perspective, how is that going to affect local producers?
You look at it here right now with what's going on, some of the competitive meats, you know, pork is the most economical one for those families that are buying in a Walmart paycheck to paycheck. And so it's one of the things that's my passion is to be able to raise that economical protein for society. And I think there's a lot of times when they're making these decisions, you know, they're not taking that consideration. You know, it was a 5-4 decision here, but we really read the verdict here. It was really, you know, a 1-2-2-4. you had Amy Comey Barrett basically agreed with us on all points. Basically said, I agree with you, but then she said, you know, there's a but, said the judicial branch shouldn't decide that, it should be Congress. And so there has been a bill introduced by Senator Grassley here from Iowa to prevent that, you know, the interstate commerce, that one state should be able to decide the ethics over another state. So I think this is a discussion that's going to continue to be had. Pork production is not the only industry that's going to be affected by this. And so I think everybody in agriculture should pay attention to this here because it is very important. California consumes about 13% of our product, but they only raise about 1%. And if they choose a hard line here and basically say, hey, it's got to be compliant by July 1, there's not enough pork to fulfill that demand that's there. And so stay tuned. This one's going to be in the news for quite some time.
Thanks for chatting with me, Randy. That was Randy Sprunk, USMEF chair-elect, reporting agriculture's business. I'm Sierra Doctor here on the Red River Farm Network.
Weather continues to dictate planting progress for producers. Grant Aarons says after some delays, they're close to finishing up planting while they wait for a few more spots to dry out around that Purley, Minnesota area.
Oh, everything's been going all right, I guess. Mother Nature hasn't been 100% on our side this spring. It's either too warm and dry or too wet, but finally got back in the field after a couple of days and sitting around and twiddling our thumbs, planting some corn today up north by the Shelley area. We got sugar beets, corn, soybeans, and wheat we farm, and we're 100% done with our sugar beets. We're about 99% done with our wheat. We got one small field left, and then corn will be wrapped up here, hopefully, and then a few acres of soybeans left.
Aaron says they've had options to wait out the weather in certain areas. What's gotten in the ground has been seen very favorable conditions.
We're pretty spread out, so we kind of let some of our wetter river pieces just sit a little longer than we normally would if it was nicer, you know. But there was a few minor changes we made, but our plans pretty much stuck to what we planned on, I guess.
You're listening to the Red River Farm Network. Welcome to Inside Agriculture on the Red River Farm Network. Let's catch up with Ag Week reporter Ann Bailey. Ann, what do you have for us on the cover of Ag Week for this week?
This week is about all the openings at county FSA offices around the country. And we have 30 in North Dakota. I know there's 8 in South Dakota. And there's concern that that eventually could result in farmers having to wait for programs sign up.
Yeah, what's the cause? Or do you get into
that? Well, the USDA secretary and the FSA executive administrator and the state administrator say it's a shortage or it's a salary issue. The county staff are not paid in line with private sector jobs and they leave for them. Or they just don't want the job because they get paid so much lower than they would if they worked for a private business.
Is there a remedy for it or not?
Well, if they can budget something in the farm bill, that it would have to come from Congress because they only implement the programs and they don't have any say in the salaries. They just have to give what they're told to give.
Those salaries, they're set at more of a national level then, huh?
Yes, the local or state offices have no say in how much to offer. A four-year degree would be $37,000 starting out for a farm service agency county worker. And same with some of the loan experts at farm service agency. They get enticed by higher salaries at banks because they have such expertise in their areas.
Well, sounds interesting. Looking forward to reading about it next week's Ag Week. Checking market numbers before we leave you this afternoon. We are seeing Minneapolis July wheat 7 3/4 higher. Chicago's up 12 right now, but Kansas City down a penny and a quarter. July corn 12 cents higher, 12 and a half higher, 6.03 1/4. December's up 15 3/4 at 5.31 3/4. July soybeans right now trading 13 3/4 higher, and November's up 16 1/2. Canola 360 a metric ton higher. Thanks for joining us. This is the Red River Farm Network.